Hi, everybody. This is Mel.
And this is Jill.
And this is Mel and Jill Geek Out. Hey, Jill.
Hi, Mel.
How's it going?
Not too bad. How about you
It's another beautiful day, you know, living the dream. The sun is shining.
You're very positive today.
You know, gotta keep it positive. Love some positivity, you know?
Do we?
So you know how everybody has like a comfort character? Like, you could just read or watch something with like a certain character or certain characters in it, and it just like it just feels like a warm hug.
Yeah.
What are some characters that are the opposite that you want to confront that they don't comfort you? You'd like to slap them in the face.
That's a difficult one.
I can start if you would like. I have quite the list. Number one, it's going to be Jack from Lost.
I've never seen it.
He annoys the living shit out of me. He is righteous and sanctimonious, and he's just super fucking annoying. He's a big old hypocrite.
I've never seen Lost, so I have no idea. No context.
As a avid watcher for many years, that show is bananas. I could probably just say that show in its entirety is something I want to confront. Essentially, they started a sci-fi show with no end in sight. They didn't have a plan. And it's real clear they never had a plan of where it was going to go.
I think it's funny because all I know about Lost is from, I think it's This Is 40 or something like that, where the daughter has like a full blown fucking meltdown over the over the ending. Yeah.
It's a very controversial ending. It's like up there with The Sopranos.
I mean, Sopranos, and now we might as well add Game of Thrones to that list as well.
Oh, for sure. For sure. So yeah, that's one of the people on my list for sure.
Okay.
I also, you have not read this book, but literally everyone from Royally Not Ready by Meghan Quinn, they're horrible. All of them are horrible people.
Okay.
Like, the main female character is just dumb and childish and just stubborn for no reason. Like, the main male character, he's just, he needs so much therapy. So very much therapy. And they're just annoying. And I'm just going to say, it's like a obvious, like, oh no, I didn't know I was a princess kind of romance novel.
Lame.
And the fake country is called Torskthorpe.
What?
Yep. And I hate it.
That's terrible.
And there's like a lot of fish, pickled fish going on. And I'm like, why?
Pickled fish. Okay.
Yep. Yep. It's terrible.
All right.
It's terrible. Probably a little bit of an out of left field one. I'm going to say Dumbledore.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one.
I'm not a big fan as an adult of Dumbledore.
As I really liked him and I was very sad. And then I read the last book and I was like, fuck him. I didn't see it coming, but maybe it's because I don't know. I did not see that one coming. And I was like, wow, that's a new fucking low.
I feel bad for Ginny because she didn't get to vote on names for any of her children.
No.
And to name your child after the men who abused you is just like, a new low for me.
Yeah. No kidding. It's a little, like, masochistic, I guess.
Yeah. This isn't about, like, healing and forgiving. No. These were, these men abused Harry.
Yeah.
And raised him to essentially go to slaughter.
Exactly.
Willingly. And it's really fucked up.
100%. 100%.
It's really fucked up.
I'll agree with you on that one.
Not as hot take. I'm going to say Erebin from Throne of Glass. For very similar reasons to Dumbledore.
He gave me, like, pedophile vibes.
Oh, super creep.
Super creep.
Yeah. Like to hit him with a stick repeatedly.
Do you have more?
One more.
Okay.
And I think this is going to surprise you. Not at all. But motherfucking Ianthe.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking hate her. I want to rip her limb from limb, pull all of her hair out of her head, like, just do terrible, despicable things.
Like, don't get me wrong, she's a terrible, like, evil character, but, like, I didn't like her either, but I don't get the hate. Like, it's a very intense hatred, and I feel like I don't understand.
I don't like that she attempts and successfully sexually assaults many of the men in the book.
That's true. I really dislike that. Yeah.
But really dislike what she did to the Suriel.
Yeah. I forgot about that
not
part.
Cool. Not cool. Yeah, she's just like the bastardization of the religion.
Yeah.
Her trying to get into Tamlin's pants when he very clearly has a fiance.
Yeah, she's terrible.
Everything about it is awful.
Yeah. So I have a few. I feel like they're a little obvious. I think, like, basic bitch answers is what I feel like they are.
No such thing.
So, Umbridge.
Oh, yeah. Fuck her.
I think anyone who gets described by Stephen King is a very evil person. Probably really is. Also, she was also incredibly abusive. So not only Harry, but, like, all the kids.
To adults.
Yes. She was, like, a truly despicable witch. I was looking for the word. I wanted to say human, but you're not human. So
she's horrible.
Yes. Then I have a twofer from the same genre, like a fandom. Joffrey and Ramsay Bolton.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They are equally terrible.
I would argue Ramsay's worse. Like, don't get me wrong.
If you're,
like,
going based on purely book Ramsay, TV Ramsay.
We're super talking about book Ramsay right now. Because, don't get me wrong, Joffrey is an evil little piece of shit. But he's kind of just, like, spoiled rotten. Like, real rotten. But it's just a kid who's never been told no before. Ever. And he has, like, just an extraordinary amount of power and a very fucked up family. So I'm not surprised. I'm a little surprised Tommen and Marcella were totally normal, but I don't know. Anyway, but Ramsay in the book is, like, astronomically worse, in my opinion. Like,
yeah,
what he does to Theon is
horrifying.
Absolutely. Just, oh my god. I remember reading that and just feeling so bad. And they just do not do that character justice on the show.
No. It's hard to pull off that level of depravity.
The actor did a great fucking job, though. I think, like, had they, you know, had a unlimited budget and all the time in the world, he could have done that character justice. They just mm-hmm. didn't have the time. But he was a great actor, and I thought he nailed it.
Same. He also, like, no offense to the actor, looked creepy.
Yes. But I think he did it with the eye. I think the eyes make him look creepy because he very much, like, kept them open. The
super wide eye, like.
Yes. Which apparently is, like, a real thing. Like, crazy people keep their eyes, like, really wide. Okay.
No, no, thank you.
And then the last one, I stopped watching this show, like, shortly after this happened. But Negan from The Walking Dead, when he killed, what's his face? Gene?
Jail. Straight to jail.
Oh, my God.
With Negan.
The bat scene where they're all on their fucking knees and he's just like walking down the line. Fucking psychotic. Absolutely psychotic. I guess my list is not so necessarily like people I want to confront because I'm not entirely sure how I would deal with any of these people. But like, I hate all of them so much.
I mean, just characters you freaking despise, whether they deserve it or not.
I wish I had a good one that, like, people wouldn't expect, but I think these are all very, like, I agree. Yeah.
You know, I'm not here to say that the unexpected answer is wrong, or the expected answer is wrong. There's a reason why it's popular. It's because they elicit the same reaction out of a lot of people.
Real quick, before we move on, what are your comfort characters? We don't have to go into, like, great detail. You can, like...
I mean, the Fellowship from Lord of the Rings.
I shouldn't have been surprised.
Yeah, they're a delight. They're a delight. It's one of those books that I've read so many times. It's like, oh, yeah, there's Frodo being silly and falling over again.
Are you reading or are you watching?
Both.
Okay.
He falls over a lot in the book, too.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I'd say there. I mean, I'm trying to think of something I've reread a lot.
It could be something you watch.
Yeah, watching. So I fall asleep to Friends every night. I don't know if that counts.
I mean, yeah.
I really like the Avatar Last Airbender show. I don't like Legend of Korra as much. It's not as interesting to me, but I do love that. And then Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I love every single one of those characters.
Movies. I have a couple. Like, if I don't know what to put on or, like, can't find anything that looks interesting, I'll put on Harry Potter, but it's literally just like background noise at this point. Mm-hmm. But like Fried Green Tomatoes is one. I know that's not a character, but that is one that I just like. I love Iggy and Ruth. Like, oh my God. It's one of my favorites. And then Sound of Music, but more for like the nostalgia piece, because I used to watch that with my mom and my sister and stuff. So, but
it's a classic.
Yeah. TV wise, this is a little weird. The Last Kingdom.
You do really like that one.
I fucking love it. I enjoy it so much. The only problem with it is like, if I put it on in the background and like the intro is like real, like it's almost like screaming. It's not screaming, but it's like a very distinct singing.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Ooh. And then let's add Forensic Files in there. That shit'll put me to sleep so fast. I don't know why.
Because for some reason, people being caught as murderers is comforting to us.
I guess so. It's like ways to not fuck up when I kill somebody. I'm joking.
How to not end up as a murder victim. 101. Ooh,
that's better. Yeah, it's like all the dumb ways to die.
Yeah, compressed into a 45-minute episode.
Yeah. All right. Are you ready to get into the book?
Yes, let's do this. We are going to get back into Iron Flame. We're going to pick up at chapter 32. And we have a lot to cover this round, so let's just dive right in. So we pick up and the gang has come up with a plan to get these journals. And now Violet has been tasked with explaining it to Zayden because he is in Beskayith for a weekend. And she has a lot of explaining to do because not only does she have to explain why everybody is in on the plan, but she also has to explain the plan. So she,
but he fucking loves this.
Oh yeah, you can tell he's like kind of like simmering with rage underneath the surface. He's just like, Lord Jesus, woman, you better be fucking happy I like you, because if I didn't, I would kill you.
Yep.
So she tells him how much she's told her friends. And how they figured out that there are two of the first six journals there at Beskayith, and what the plan is, and how they're going to use Eric to help them. So Zayden doesn't love this plan. He's not like super thrilled, but he agrees to go along with it. So they bring everybody together and they're explaining the plan, and they bring Eric in, and Eric isn't super fond of Zayden because we find out that Zayden killed his older brother during threshing.
I like how you wrote whoops.
Whoopsie daisy. My bad. I just kind of maybe murdered people a little bit. Like,
meh. Was it murder though? I mean, I feel like, because murder feels very like, I'm going to kill you kind of thing. And it feels like in Beskayith, it's more like, I don't want to die. There's a few psychos who go murdering, but I don't think Zayden's one of them.
I don't think Zayden like started out with the intention. The explanation he gives is that the older brother goes after Bodhi or Garrick. I don't remember which one. And so that's why.
Exactly.
Zayden.
It's not provoked, it was like in defense.
It was reactionary.
Thank you.
So they have the Scooby-Dooest of all Scooby-Doo plans to go get this journal. And it's fun. So they head out. Rhiannon, Sawyer, Riddick, and Bodhi are all tasked with being lookouts, while Violet, Zayden, Eric, and Imogen all follow Jesenia into the archive to get these two journals. Now, important things to note here is if the archive door seals, you might as well just count yourself among the dead, because whatever magic happens when the door closes to keep pests away is gonna murder fuck you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they only have an hour to go down and get these two books.
I pictured the air being sucked out.
Yeah, I don't know what I pictured. Maybe like a lot of laser beams. I don't know. I didn't really worry my pretty little head about
no,
it.
No, I'm just honest. Like, I'm just conveying what like I remember of being like, I wonder, like, that's because theoretically, like, you don't want a fire. So if you're in the archives, you kind of want to not have
air.
Yeah.
Yeah. If there's no oxygen, there's no fire.
Exactly. So
they make their way down, and that brings us into chapter 33. And, you know, there's some guards that Zayden has to, you know, conveniently knock out. And they get down to the vault, and Eric is supposed to go through to find the journals. But Eric decides he needs some help and pulls Violet in with him. Mostly, I feel like, to piss off Zayden.
A little bit.
So they begin searching. And mind you, I kind of imagined like a mini library with tall shelves, but also like cabinets on the bottom. And so they're searching and searching and searching and searching. And of course, it takes them 42 minutes to find these fucking journals.
Of course it does.
Oh my God. So fucking long. So motherfucking long. And so they finally get them. They throw them in bags and then they literally hightail it out of there. And they barely make it out. They find out that, you know, the crew has been doing a great job of creating distractions and pretending like they're around and stuff. And that brings us into chapter 34. And I'm going to read you a little snippet.
Bring it on.
Like, I don't know if I'm emotionally prepared for this.
Am I?
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't remember. So we'll see.
My last words with my father before the Battle of Aratia were spoken in anger because he was sending me away for my own safety. I'm not sure I'll ever forgive myself for that, but I like to think he forgives me. Recovered correspondence of Lieutenant Zayden Ryerson to Cadet Violet Sorengale.
I mean, speaking as a parent, that's exactly what was happening. Mm-hmm. Like, it's one of those things. It's like, I know you'll understand later. Like, I know you don't get it right now, but you will. And so, yeah, like, it may have been hard to hear in the moment, but like, you know, kids say shit mm-hmm. out of hurt. You know what I mean? Not, unless you fucking deserve it. Not necessarily like out of true, they might feel it in the moment, but it's not like a permanent feeling, if that makes sense. Being angry.
Yeah. So it's sad.
Yeah.
I feel like it might be a little bit of foreshadowing. We shall see. So, while they had to get these journals out of, they were in like this bubble that when Eric put his hand through it, he got all these blisters on his hands. So Rhiannon and Eric leave to go to the infirmary and they're going to ask their buddy healer Dyer because he owes one to Violet. And so they head off that way. And then we learn that, I believe it's Quinn who has the ability to astral project. She's been pretending to be everyone in the courtyard. No big deal. Really chill and simple, you know. And Violet and Zayden like go out into the courtyard. He's going to head off to the flight field. And she's feeling this big bubble of hope for the first time in a while. They had a plan. They're going to read these books and they're going to learn what they need to do to expand the wards. They're going to protect people from the Venom. She's just elated. And so she stands in the courtyard until Zayden is gone and he's flying off with one of the books to Aratia so that the books can be separated and they can be read at the same time. And then she's standing in the courtyard still kind of basking in the glory of it all. And Nolan comes up and he offers her some lemonade, which she stupidly drinks.
Mm-hmm. She's a fucking idiot.
She's a fucking idiot. And she very slowly puts two and two together that she is holding a scribe satchel with a book in it after something has been stolen from the archive, and realizes that she has been dosed with the serum to cut her off from Taryn. And then she collapses when Barish shows up and is like, her, generic evil guy line. He says, why, Cadet Sorrel? Why? What have you gotten yourself into? And I'm like, thanks for your generic evil guy line. Nobody's here for that.
He's just, I'm like, come on. This should have, I don't know. You should have picked that up. In my opinion. Yeah. Not you.
Yeah.
Violet. No,
she should have fucking figured this shit out. It's
like, come on. I mean, you've already been dosed with it at one point, correct? I can't remember.
Yes, during their first land nav.
Then, you should be on the lookout.
Constant vigilance.
Yes. Because you don't know who he, you don't know what side he's on.
You don't know what side anyone's on.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was annoying. So that brings us to chapter 35. And this is probably what the trigger warning at the beginning of the book was about.
Yeah.
Even though not a lot actually happens on page. It's alluded to, but it's not actively happening.
I thought the shit in Throne of Glass was way worse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have to concur with you. You just don't like the sewer scene.
Oh my God. I was horrified. As you all just may wait, remember. Folks,
until we talk about the sewer scenes in Throne of Glass.
Oh my God.
She's gonna lose her mind. So Violet wakes up and she is strapped to a chair in an interrogation room in the brig. Nolan is there, Varish is there, and Nora is there. So Nora is the woman who has been searching Violet's bag this whole time. And she's essentially running through her interrogation lessons in her head as they start asking her questions, trying to figure out if they know about her friends being involved, if they know for a fact Zayden was involved, all of this kind of stuff. And she kind of deduces that they actually don't know that much. They know that there was an alarm that went off for this secret vault.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know that Eric is a royal descendant. So they don't understand how any of this happened, and they can't confirm what's missing because they can't get into the vault.
Darn it.
Shoot. So their only solution here is to essentially try to get it out of Violet. And Violet has taken to her interrogation lessons well, and she doesn't plan on saying anything. But we do learn something about this Nora woman. She's an interesting signet. She has the ability to detect if someone is lying. So that gives Violet some challenges
mm-hmm.
in answering some of these questions when she does choose to answer them, to then not tell a direct lie, but to tell a version of the truth that'll work.
Yeah.
This doesn't make good old Varish all that happy.
Well, Violet might be dumb in some respects, but in others, such as this, she was smart, because I'm not sure I'd have been able to do that.
No, she does a pretty good job of skirting the truth enough to be able to make this work. So the first scene concludes with Varish dislocating and then breaking one of her fingers.
Blech.
Not great. So we go into the next section, and it's been a couple of days, and Violet is not in great shape, but it's clear that Nolan has healed her enough after each session to keep her going a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But then somebody is there in her chamber with her, and it's Liam. She thinks she's hallucinating. But Liam responds with, or maybe Malik sent me as a kindness. And all Violet thinks is Malik doesn't do kindness, nor does he allow souls to wander about. I don't think Violet knows jack shit about these gods. I think this might be exactly what Liam says it is. A lot of people, and myself included, said, well, maybe she has the ability to kind of be a little bit of a necromancer type thing, where she can commune with the dead. I think this is very face value of what is happening. I think Malik sent Liam to her because she has some kind of connection with Malik.
I can see that. I definitely thought she was just hallucinating for a good chunk of it. I think it did kind of like, I'm trying to remember how I felt when I read it, but I remember initially for sure thinking she was hallucinating. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of gets, because he's there for a decent mm-hmm. amount of time. It's not like he's in and out. He's just there.
He's a constant for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So we learn that there's some arguments going on between Varish and Nora because everyone's asking about where Violet is at this point. She's been gone for a couple of days. Some of the professors are asking about her. It's being noticed that Violet is gone. And one of the things that she thinks about is how Zayden probably doesn't know yet, because he won't know until she's supposed to show up at Samara. And she is very concerned about Zayden reacting and trying to do something because she doesn't want Zayden putting himself at risk. But hallucination Liam, ghost Liam, kindly reminds her that Sigale probably already knows, because Taryn is probably freaking the fuck out.
Yeah.
Which means Zayden knows.
100%.
And ghost Liam says that Zayden's going to rip this place apart brick by brick. You just have to survive. He's telling her Zayden is coming. You just got to stay alive until that happens.
Yeah, of course he is. Of course he is.
But she doesn't believe him. He's like, no, he can't risk the movement. He won't do that. He will not pick me over the movement. So she and Liam continue to talk. It's interesting to have her having a conversation with maybe what's inside of her head. But yeah. And then this is also when we find out what Varish's signet is. So he has the ability to see people's weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
Which is useful in war.
Yes.
Not much else.
No.
So,
I mean, I guess if you're a manipulative person, which Varish clearly is, he probably used that to gain a lot in his life.
I mean, knowing Varish, yeah, he absolutely only uses this for his own personal reasons.
Yeah.
It's an interesting situation, that's for sure. And we learn a little bit more. So Varish talks about how when he first met Violet, his signet actually didn't work because she was shielding so well. He's like, mm-hmm. I don't know who taught you to shield, but you're too damn fucking good at that. It is only when she has been doused, which they continually dose her with the serum, elixir, whatever nonsense that keeps her separated from her dragons, that he is able to successfully use his signet on her. And unsurprisingly, Violet's weakness is the people that she loves. Her friends, Mira, Zayden.
I thought that was so obvious.
I'm like, this isn't surprising.
No, not at all. And like, I also, that's anybody's weakness?
Yeah, for sure.
So it's like, that would be tactic one to me.
Yeah, go after the people they care about.
Yeah, like it's
why there's always a breakup in novels because the main character has to break up with their love interest because it puts them in too much danger.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want them to be used against them. It doesn't work ever, but
yeah, it was an interesting choice.
I think it would be more interesting if her weakness was not the people she cared about.
Oh,
if it was something else.
1000% agree with you.
But we get a fun little line from Violet here, and she goes, "Does Solas enjoy hiding?" Fresh reminder, Solas is Varish's dragon. And she pretty much just quips that even though she's blocked off from Taryn, she knows exactly what Taryn is doing.
Yeah.
She's going to fucking kill Solas. And she's like, "You might be hunting Zayden, but Taryn is hunting Solas."
Oh, yeah.
And then she says, like, "I might die in here, but you definitely will."
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. And he has, mind you, during this whole torture thing, Violet's mom is not at Basgaiath. She's in Kaldir. And Varish openly admits that he has been waiting all year for her to break a rule so he can question her under the Codex, because her mom is a real rule follower.
Yeah. Kind of like Dane. They're both assholes.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Speaking of Dane,
a few more days pass. Ghost Liam is still there, but Violet, to her credit, still has not broken. A little proud of Violet right now.
Very proud of Violet.
So they decide to ante up here. They're going to take it up a notch. And they bring in Dane. And
I definitely panicked reading that. I was like, fuck, how's she going to get out of this one?
I know. I was like, well, she's fucked now.
Yeah.
So unless she can do lightning bolts with her brain into his brain, I don't know how the fuck she's going to get out of it. P.S. That's not what happens.
No.
So Varish uses some interesting logic to convince Dane to do this. He essentially tells him it's for the good of Nevaeh, and that Violet is suspected to be plotting to take down the wards. And she tries to plead with him, and he's just like, "Well, you should have talked to me last year." And I'm like, shut the fuck up and listen now.
Yeah, it's like she's literally been tortured 5 days longer than she was supposed to be there, like that they had an excuse for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, come on now. You really gonna, like, this person you supposedly care about so much, like, you don't see her being tortured and that doesn't bother you because she didn't fucking tell you?
Get over yourself. It's fucking stupid. So, mind you, Ghost Liam is here and he's just like, I don't see a way out of this one.
Yeah.
And so Dane's going to do it. He's going to root through her memories. But Ghost Liam is like, you know, logic dictates here that he'd have to get to what he wants to find. He'll have to go through whatever you're actively thinking about. Which is an interesting little tidbit, Liam. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's exactly what she does. Dane touches her temple and she thinks about the battle in Athbun, and she essentially goes through what really happened with the wyvern and the venom and how Liam truly died and how Soleil truly died. And it's just, it's trauma again on top of a person who is actively being traumatized.
Yeah.
Not great. So Dane steps back, kind of surprised by what he's seen. And he's just like, They're smuggling weapons. And Varys is like, I knew it. He's like all excited. Except Dane then proceeds to stab him.
Yeah.
And cut Violet free.
I definitely didn't see that one coming.
I wasn't like super surprised.
I didn't think she would. Like, once I realized what she was, because like I said, I didn't know how she was going to get out of it. But then when she showed Dane what happened, then I was like, okay, he's definitely going to be on her side. Yeah, definitely going to be on her side.
As soon as he sees reality,
mm-hmm.
and he knows she can't make it up.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so he cuts her free. He's asking her. Oh, he goes up to Nora because Nora comes in and he's like, if you let us go, I won't kill you. And then somebody else using some shadow powers does slit her throat and Zayden walks in.
Boom.
Boom. Were you surprised?
No.
That Zayden showed up?
Absolutely not. Of course he did.
0% surprise.
Like,
I'm shocked it took him 5 days.
Same. Like, I'm sorry. This is the part that blew my mind. Like, Taryn had to have known very early on that what was going on. And after 2 days, like, because I want to say, like, they had an excuse to keep her for, like, a couple of days.
Exactly.
But then, like,
after the couple of days.
After a couple of days, like, where's the excuse? So after that point, Taryn should have been in the brain with Sigale and being like, something's wrong. And it shouldn't have taken Zayden 5 fucking days to get there.
Well, we learn why it takes him 5 fucking days to get there.
True.
But yes, so Dane shows up and then he is a blackout with rage. Like, as angry as you can possibly be and more.
Yeah.
And he has every intention of killing Dane, except Violet stumbles forward and stops him. And she's like, no, he saved me. He helped me. Pretty please, no, no, stabby stab.
No stabby stab.
So Zayden's like, fine. Varys, however, is not dead. He's still kicking it in the corner, being a shithead. And he's like, meh. So Zayden shoves him in the interrogation chair using his, like, super fun dark magic, smoky magic.
Yeah.
And they all decide that Violet gets to potentially kill Varys if she wants it. She says she sure as fuck does.
Yeah.
Because I'd want to stab that motherfucker too.
100%.
Torture me for 5 days.
Can we add him to the list?
To the ones you want to confront? Absolutely.
Yeah, let's add him to the list.
Absolutely. Fuck Varys. So I just want to point out here that they use one of the alloy hilted daggers to kill Varys. And Violet tries, but mm-hmm. she is very weak, in very bad shape. And so Zayden wraps his hands around hers and helps her stab him through the heart.
Rightfully so.
I feel like this is all very explicitly said that is an alloy dagger going through the heart for a reason.
Pretty sure he's Venom.
Yeah. I'm pretty confident that Varys was Venom, and we are going to find that out in the next book.
Yeah.
And the only reason he is, I'm hoping, dead is because he was stabbed through the heart with the alloy dagger.
I agree. But also, I think they have, like, a very big Venom problem amongst the students.
I think Venom is way bigger problem than anybody realizes.
100%.
I
think it is spread.
There's a there's a bunch of moles.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So then they're like, let's get the fuck out of Dodge. So they start to head up the stairs to get the fuck out of there. And it's like dead body central. And on their way up, who do they run into who's on her way down? Violet's mom.
I know what you're going to say.
She's pretty genuinely concerned. Like, she's like, I didn't know. She keeps saying that. Like, I didn't know you were, I didn't know any of this was going on. I didn't know. I didn't know. I think she probably genuinely didn't know.
That she was in interrogation?
Interrogation.
Oh, yeah. I agree. I don't think she knew.
I don't think she had any idea.
I thought we were talking about, like, the overarching problem.
Oh, no. She straight up admits to knowing all of that.
Yeah. I was going to say.
No. She straight up admits to knowing all of that shit. She's like, and Violet's like, but how could you, like, keep this secret with so many innocent civilians are dying? And her mom's explanation is just kind of like, when you become a mother, we'll have the conversation about what you're willing to do to protect your children. Until then, you're never going to understand.
Yeah. That's true. But also, I still don't.
You don't trust mom.
No. Mm-mm. Violet doesn't have a reason to either.
No, she really doesn't. I think the mom is morally gray. Like, she did the right things for the wrong reasons, or she did the wrong things for the right reasons kind of situation. But I don't think the mom is, like, straight up evil.
I guess it just, like, really fucking irritates me. Like, I have this problem in real life where I'm like, people should be better than they are. And when they aren't, it's very disappointing. And so, like, as a mom, looking at another mom and watching what she's doing to her children, it's like, no, sorry. Like, you could have done so much better
by them.
So much better by them.
But we do get a great piece of information.
We do.
We get the explanation of why she forced Violet into the Rider Squadron. And this is what she said. I might be a stranger to you, Violet, but you are far from a stranger to me. Eventually, you'd discover the truth. Maybe not while in the Scribe Quadrant, but certainly by the time you meet Captain or Major, when Markham would start bringing you into the fold, as we do with most of those ranks. And then you would unravel everything in the name of mercy or whatever emotion you'd blame, and they would kill you for it. I'd already lost one child keeping our borders safe, and I wasn't willing to lose another. Why did you think I forced you into the Rider's Quadrant? And Violet retorts with, because you think less of scribes. And Violet's mom responds, bullshit. The love of my life was a scribe. I put you into the Rider's Quadrant so you'd have a shot at surviving. And then I called in a favor with Ryerson, who owed me for putting the marked ones in the quadrant.
I still don't trust her.
I think she's telling 100% truth here, but I think she's also doing the same thing Violet did when she was in interrogation and very intentionally selecting her words.
Oh, yeah.
Because she doesn't say your father was a scribe.
She said the love of my life.
The love of my life was a scribe.
Yeah, I. Again. There's not two quadrants. There's not two quadrants. Let's throw her into the one where, like, what, 50 to 70% of them die. Like, I'm sorry, terrible fucking odds. There was another option.
Yeah, but that's the quadrant her mom was in. So she probably felt like once she made it through Basgaiath, she could help protect her.
If.
I understand that, but like, clearly Violet is meant to be a writer. She does exceedingly well.
Oh, I'm not in the writer's quadrant. Questioning that. I am not questioning that. But as a mother, I'm not going to send her into the literal viper's den. No, thank you.
Okay, but are you going to send her into infantry to be literal cannon fodder?
Isn't there like a healer's quadrant?
There is, but she clearly has no aptitude for that.
Well, I don't know, but no, not the one where they all die. No.
Yeah, it's an interesting choice, but it's nice to get an explanation.
A half one.
It's nice to get at least some of an explanation. So then we learn a little bit more about the situation between Zayden and Violet's mom. So she was, in fact, the person who put the cuts on Zayden's back, taking responsibility for all of the other marked kids.
Mm-hmm.
And she tries to explain, like, okay, well, it's a Tirish custom, but Violet just shuts her down. I want to know a little bit more about this Tirish custom personally.
Yeah.
Does that mean that Violet's mom is Tirish? Was Violet's dad Tirish? What's the love of her life Tirish? How does this woman know so much about Tirish traditions?
I don't know.
I want to know.
Again, it just gives me so much more reason to distrust her. I don't know why you want me to like her so badly.
I don't want you to like her. I just want to understand.
No,
I want you to see that there's not, she's not all evil.
I don't think she's all evil, but I, like, again, I just have, I feel like I just have a higher standard. Like, you could have done so much better, and it pisses me off. Let's just add her to the list. I'll take any of those motherfuckers off the list and we'll add her to it.
You can have an infinitely long list.
I'm sorry. It just makes me so mad. Like,
you can add Lilith Sorengale to your list if that is what suits your fancy.
Yeah. It also doesn't help that her name is literally Lilith.
It could just be a name.
It's not.
So then the conversation turns a little bit. So we learn that there's a little bit of a distraction going on, and that's part of how they're able to get into Violet, and now they're able to get out with Violet. And that distraction was caused by one Zayden Ryerson by dropping three dead wyvern over the border near Basgaiath.
That'll get someone's attention.
So most of the leadership have flown off to deal with said problem.
Yes.
And Zayden blatantly asks Violet's mom, regret letting me into the quadrant yet? And she's like, no, stay alive or this will have been for nothing. I tell you to take. She turns to Violet and says some nonsense. But she also says this to Violet. Your father made sure you'd know everything you needed or where to find it.
AKA.
You're all that's left of him.
AKA the book.
The fucking book.
Yeah. But the also, book. She said, you're all that's left of him. What about Mira? Mira's not dead.
Well, Mira is not a scribe. So Mira takes after their mom much more so than their father.
I get that. But like, Violet isn't the last of him, though. Like, I understand personality wise that they're taking after the other parents. But like, again, Mira's still alive. So is it somebody else?
I don't know.
We'll see.
I don't know. Because, like, who else would it be? What's his nuts? The head of the... Is it? It's not Markham, but maybe it's Markham, the head of the Scribe Quadrant?
I don't know.
Gross. That'd be gross. So they get up to the top, and they're going to go get on Taryn, and everybody's going to leave. And Violet's like, nope. We have to give everyone a choice. We may never get another chance like this. And so... Dane calls a formation. It's kind of crazy. So they gather. It's like 30 minutes later, they gather all of these people, all the students, into the courtyard. And they are discussing what happened. Everyone, they're just saying, like, this is why leadership is gone. There's a bunch of wyvern. Students are like, some of them are believing, some of them aren't. And so Violet tells Taryn, like, tell the dragons to show them what happened in Aspen with, like, the normal edits. And he's like, well, some of the dragons won't. She's like, well, then they don't get to come.
Yeah.
We'll trust the dragons. And so they do so. And then some of our favorite professors, like Devera.
Yay.
Join. And... they gather together. Some of the people see it and believe, some of them don't. Jessenia and a couple other scribes come running out with some bags of books and then 200 dragons and 101 riders leave with Violet and Zayden for Aracia. And that, my friend, is the end of part one.
What do you think?
If I'm looking at just part one as a whole, I feel like we spent a lot of time with Zayden and Violet not talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And could have cut a significant chunk of the bullshit out to then ditch school entirely.
Yeah. Agreed. I feel like the not talking and the like brief arguments could have been better spent filling in lore and backstory and the details. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, can I learn some more about Eric?
Yeah.
Can I? Because, like, I think we finally learned, like, what Bodhi's signet is, and he can, like, cancel out other people's signets, which is, like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
I think learning more about everyone's signet would be nice. Kind of learning more about the war efforts and, like, where most of the battles are happening at, getting a better picture of those kinds of things. Learning a little bit more about these professors, if they're going to be playing a bigger role, because I feel like they are.
Mm-hmm.
And really seeing some, with Violet, learning how to cope with the trauma of war.
Yeah.
Because she's the only one. And we only really see her avoid it entirely or almost completely verbal diarrhea to her friends.
Mm-hmm.
And not, we don't see any healthy coping mechanisms.
I agree. I couldn't have said it better. I'm not even going to, like, add to it.
On, like, a positive note, I really, like, once the book kind of got going, I loved the pacing. I think the torture scene was really interesting, is why we spent so much time on it. I think this plan of building the wards is going to be interesting as we move into part two.
Mm-hmm.
I think part two is the better half of the book.
Yeah.
It's still a little side questy at times. But I feel like the pacing gets a lot better.
Yeah. It didn't live up to what I wanted it to. Like, I know we kind of talked about this. Like, I don't dislike it, but like I said, I think it just needed more time to bake. I think we say this every episode, so I won't go into it again.
For sure. It suffers a little bit from second book syndrome.
Yeah. Yeah.
It does. And we'll see if we get the announcement of the third book here soon.
I'm pretty sure it's coming this week.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident.
I feel like she's...
Is, actually announced, I will pre-order. I am not going to pre-order a random book.
Yeah, I did the last time, but I was like so sure.
Mm-hmm. That it was something.
That it was something. But yeah, I'm good right now.
Yeah, you're good.
I'm good.
Any final thoughts?
I can't wait to start part two.
I know. It might, maybe it won't take us 8 parts.
I mean,
no promises.
We're taking our time. I feel like we're taking our time. Like we're in the groove. Like we're not having to fill in so much, you know?
So. Well, thank you all so much for listening. If you want to check out what is coming up next on the pod, be sure to give us a follow over on Instagram. It's Mel and Jill Geek Out. Or if you want to shoot us an email about what you think we should geek out about next, shoot us an email over at jillandmelgeekout@gmail.com. Once again, my name is Melissa.
And I'm Jill.
And this has been Mel and Jill Geek Out.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.